Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Up the Podcast. Cambridgeshire is blue yet again. The annual 6 points have been completed. Thank you very much, Cambridge United. Posh won today thanks to a Tyo Edden free kick in the second half. And we are going to talk about the game and dissect it all tonight. Tonight, we've got Ashley on, we've got Del on, we've got Lods on, and I am John. Ash, who was at the Shabby, talk us through the game. What did you think?
I tell you what, the Shabby is a great place to start, isn't it? Because obviously that was the first time that us as away fans have gone into that terrace with that dodgy bodge job seating that they had. And crikey, what an experience that was. Rough as fuck, which I'm pretty sure sums up that stadium as a whole, sums up that fan base and sums up that football team. Delighted to see out a 1-0. We've watched Jed Steer's interview, or I have already. 1-0s are so satisfying, aren't they? And when it's your local rival and a massive game, when they've also missed, look, Neil Harris head loss, they've missed multiple chances to put that ball in the back of the net. Steer has had an absolutely fantastic performance and basically pulled the ball back off the line in some instances. To go there and win 1-0 is just absolutely fantastic. And look, we've said many things across the course of this season, but there are two games that matter, and those are both of those games against Cambridge, to me, for sure. And to have won both of them for the last two seasons, you know, it just sets you up well for the rest of the season, doesn't it? It's March now. We've got sort of 6 to 7 weeks left of the season now. And I just am so happy that they've got over that hurdle, because now it's kind of, it feels like a relax, doesn't it? You look at the table, I think that we've cleared enough space now. I think that we can get enough points and sort of really just solidify the fact that we'll be in League One next year. And that will be the last Cambridgeshire derby, I am sure, for many, many moons.
I agree, mate. It could be a long time. Was it 20 odd years before we, when we last played them prior to the other year, if that makes sense. But yeah, whether it's 1-0, 5-0, like my prediction, 8-2, couldn't give a fuck. A win's a win. A 1-0 win is like a 5-0 battering. I fucking hate him. And Neil Harris, what is he fucking talking about? He was a moaning, basically digging his players out like fuck. But, you know, it wasn't the best performance, but it was a dogged, it was a gritted, it was a we're not fucking winning this, not losing this game sort of a mentality, which was good to see. And we saw that by sort of, you know, a player getting a red card. I have no issues with a player getting a red card in the derby. Could not give a fuck. So doff me out, get the fucking hell stuck in. But, you know, and also to be fair, that goal, that free kick was a goal to win any game. Superb. It was very, very good. But yeah, that all over the pitch, I thought we'd done very well. I don't think we should give any credit at all to Cambridge, like their manager did, because I fucking hate them. The shit, you know? Fucking, who is it? Maloney. I don't even know what his name is. Fucking running that. Mate, he was blown out of his arse trying to keep up with our players. And it was like, because he was literally right in front of us. And it was embarrassing to watch. His head was going all like this. Oh, I'm trying to catch up. What a fucking prick. If that's the sort of players that you've got playing for you, mate, fuck off. Because he was fucking pony. And he was just a, how old do we say it was? Ash 43? Turns out he's only 33. So anyway, and then they brought on that fucking twat at the end. But enough of talking about the scum. Apart from a fucking hate him. Yeah, I liked it. The terrace was fucking hell. Why were we not behind the goal? Why were we not got a bigger area than what we did? Because it was shit. The stewards fucking shit. They said you couldn't stand at the front row, but then all the stewards are like fucking blocking your view. You know, you can't have it both ways, but, you know, well, fucking hell, have it. We won. Done a double over Scumbridge again. What more can you ask for? You know, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I thought we got away with one today, really. I didn't think we were great. It was probably a different Posh performance to the ones where you kind of, where we went away from our philosophy, where you kind of went to Lincoln and Charlton and it was just awful to watch. Today, we were trying to do the right things, but I don't know if we really clicked. I think part of that was the fact that obviously in the shed, the pitch is fucking awful. And that was a real leveler in the game. It sort of dragged us down to Cambridge's level. And we were fortunate in the sense that they missed quite a few big chances and are just a terrible, terrible football team. And really the one real bit of quality was the free kick from Eden. Brilliant free kick, brilliant strike. Continues to be really, really impressive. And like we say, that's probably them down. If they had any hope, I think they had to beat us today. All hope's gone. Their manager's head's gone. And I kind of just want to talk about what a tin pot club they are. They're just, you know, they've waited years for this rivalry and they had, what, one win over us in all that time. They've got embarrassed at us pretty much every time they've come to London Road. They've got absolutely hammered. They can't beat us in their own ground anymore. There are levels to this game. Cambridge are nowhere near them. And what a tin pot decision as well to send us into the shitty, well, there isn't a good stand really, is there, in the entire stadium, but to put us in the side at the corner because they wanted to, I think the rationale was they wanted to sell more tickets to Cambridge fans. And then there was about 12 of them in the away end. So, well, you might as well open that up for Posh fans next year because we could have sold it out. We probably could sell out your ground for you if you want, if you need that, Cambridge, by the way. So, yeah, get back to where you belong, League Two. You might have a chance there because you can't compete with the big boys in League One. And, yeah, Cambridgeshire will forever be blue. Get back in our shadow. Goodbye.
You know what? I actually preferred the stand we were in today. The past two times we've been to Cambridge behind the goal, I thought we've really struggled to create an atmosphere. And I don't know what it is about this terrace. It was quite intimate. It was very close to the pitch compared to the other one. And it felt like we were more involved with the action. And just in general as well, I thought the atmosphere was much better from us. It would have been nice to have some more Posh fans there, and I don't know how the logistics work at the Shabby, but maybe they could have split that stand in half and had half Posh fans, half Cambridge fans, similar to what we do to the GH for these sorts of games. But yeah, regarding the game, I think I agree with you, John. We did kind of get away with one. I think Cambridge probably had the better chances. I wouldn't say they were the better team, but they definitely missed a few and we got away with not conceding there. My man of the match was Jed Steer. So I just want to talk about him. I'd give him a 9 out of 10, which is the same score I gave to Bilo at Bolton. But if I compare the two, Bilo made a lot of saves at Bolton. And you don't really remember Jed making a lot of saves today. But the saves he did make, they were all, he held on to the ball. And I think that's the difference between what he does and what Bilo does. Certainly what Bilo did at Bolton, he made a lot of saves, but he was conceding corners and deflecting out in front of him, which ultimately was what caused us to concede at Bolton. But everything that came at Jed today, he held. He was catching balls out of the sky, the one-on-ones, and every decision he was making with some of them one-on-ones, there was at least one chance, maybe two, that we all in the ground just assumed we were going to concede. And the ball just somehow just ended in both of his hands. And as a goalkeeper, being able to keep the ball is such a impressive skill and so important to just killing the momentum completely, because obviously he was trying to set up counter-attacks and unfortunately none of them really succeeded for us. But the important thing was that it killed any momentum that Cambridge were creating themselves, because had they had, I don't know, two or three extra corners, I think it could have been a different story today. So yeah, a lot of his saves weren't the impressive sort of camera saves that you look for out of a 9 out of 10 performance for a goalkeeper, but I think he definitely warranted a 9 out of 10 for me.
I completely agree, Lods. And look, he's coming for some stick, hasn't he, at times, like Bilo has as well. There's been lots of conversations about, do we need a new goalkeeper going into next year? But, you know, 3 clean sheets on the bounce now, is it, away from home? I think the club have tweeted. We would have never seen that coming at points this year, and it's such a relief. Like, you do really feel with steering goal is that whenever that ball goes up, that he's looked like he's going to be ready to get himself up there and make the catch. And that was in the first half, that was in the second half. And like you say, it just completely relaxes everybody, certainly from a fan base's point of view, that knowing that, right, your keeper's going to come out. I know that obviously he fumbled one and we gave away a penalty against Shrewsbury. But other than that, I can't think the last time that he dropped a ball when he came up for one and claimed it, which, you know, we talk about the defensive signings, but actually Steer coming back in has felt like a new signing. Obviously, he got injured and then had his rehab and then was potentially going to be out the door. But to have him come back in once the window had closed was a massive relief. And ultimately, his performances are showing that, you know, he's probably going to be the number one for the rest of the season. When I talk about the defence as well, and look, we've already touched on Teo Adun. I think we have discussed this as well, serious, serious headaches come the end of the season, because he is showing his quality and showing his class. And we've already got two left backs in the building. Yes, one of them's injured, but he really does sort of bring a spark to the pitch. Like the amount of tackles that he wins and then all of a sudden is straight up and attacking the opposition team again is just fantastic. And, you know, look, he's bent one in. We were discussing the wall, like, obviously, last weekend, Arsenal had a wall that was like 12 yards away. And that wall today looked so close. And it just looked like there was only one thing that was going to happen. And it was going to be that the ball ended up hitting the wall. And he's managed to bend it round, put it in the back of the net. The one goal that matters in the game today is his. Lod said that Jed Steer was his man of the match. I probably would have agreed with that until Teo Adun got himself sent off. That was legendary status flying through Liam Bennett. I fucking hate that little donkey. The fact that he got dropped for his big game and then he's come on and been absolutely turned into mincemeat by a left back who gets himself sent off. Yeah, that's absolutely champion that. I fucking love Teo Adun.
100% agree, right? Steer had a decent game, no doubt about it, had a decent game, kept in a few times, especially the one where the fucking ball bobbled and went behind him and he managed to claw it out, excellent. But Teo Adun, my man of the match, couldn't give a fuck, I've already said, I don't give a fuck that he got sent off, superb, you know, he's just even, just his play, his build-up, he's getting stuck in, he seemed as well, from a fan's point of view, that some of the players today actually knew what it meant to Peterborough United playing Cambridge to the fans, etc. And you saw that at the end, which is excellent. If it was any other team, you know, doing that fucking cheers, a free punches, whatever, after a game when we're like bottom of the league, Tim Pot, embarrassing. Don't give a fuck. It was Peterborough United. We deserve to do that. We can do that. But I will say, Hector and what's his name, Steer, mate, you need to fucking man up with a bit of your free punches, because they look very, very feminine. Going off on a tangent there. Well, it did, though, didn't it? You've got to admit it. But going back to Tayu, mate, by a country mile, my man of the match. As I've said, in a fucking derby, getting stuck in, getting a red card, that is legendary status for me in against them scum. So, man of the match, Eden, Nude, whatever you want to call him, excellent.
Why would we call him Nude? I feel a bit sorry for Edun, because he obviously got sent off. He wasn't able to come out at the final whistle when we're all celebrating and all the fans were serenading him, but he was probably just sat in the dressing room by himself, which is just a bit sad. I feel sorry for him there. And I do agree, he had a good game and he has been great since he's come in. And it feels very similar to the Kyoso story from last season, where we've got a fullback or a wing back who's really lifted the crowd. The crowd love him. The fans love him. He's lifted the players. He offers such a great outlook going forward. He's also a great defender. Fergie loves him. But with Kyoso, he didn't belong to us and Eden does. So it is completely in our hands. And like Ashley said, this is one massive headache that we've got in the summer of whether or not we're going to sign him. And I just can't see it happening. As much as I want it to, I just can't see it happening. I think for it to happen, we'd have to wash our hands of Adebisi without giving him a chance and let him go with basically no money back from it, because I don't think anyone's going to pay anywhere near as much as what we've paid for him. And I just think that Dara's too stubborn to make that happen. And that's without even thinking about Edun's wages, which you can imagine is probably quite high.
I just wanted to touch on Teo Dunn's red card quickly, because I think that it might be a tiny blessing in disguise for Harley Mills. He's going to have to play next weekend now. And realistically, Harley Mills' next game was going to be the Virtue Trophy final. So I think that just getting Mills in, just to tick him over, give him another performance, give him 90 minutes against what is ultimately a really strong Charlton team, is actually going to be a fantastic thing. So look, of course, it's not ideal that Edun got himself sent off, especially as the first booking was for dissent. But I actually think that in terms of Harley Mills and his performance, I think that it really could help us heading into the Virtue Trophy final.
I want to turn, Edun. I think when he first came in, I saw him as sort of like a steady Eddie. I think he was kind of labelled as that, like, okay, he's an upgrade on Jack Sparks or what we had before. But I think we all kind of, I don't know if this is everyone actually, but I kind of saw a couple of limitations. And I was like, yeah, he's good for now. He's a good short-term option, but long-term we'll probably look at somebody else. He's gone from strength to strength since he's been here. And it's getting to the point where I just think it's a no-brainer to sign him. I know you said it's going to be, you don't think it'll happen, Lods. I think at this point, we have to sign him. And then you loan out Adebisi or Mills. I don't mind which one. Adebisi, surely Crew if might have a look at him if we want to loan him out. Mills looks like a really good player. I don't think a loan would hurt him at his age. And then we've got two decent left back options for next season. But as it stands, I really want Teo Edun to be our starting left back next season. I think he's been great since he came in, and this free kick, if he's starting to add goals from set pieces to his game, it's just another string to his bow that's really impressive. Just moving the topic on a little bit, someone I don't think we've mentioned in Sam Hughes. Again, another one that we've brought in January, and I just think he's been absolutely outstanding, really. Again today, it's his sort of game on that sort of pitch where, you know, it's a bit of a battle, it's a bit of a grind, and he just completely dominated them, really. Just nothing got through him. I'm harsh on Oscar Vallin, but there are times where he's covering for Vallin as well as doing his own job. Vallin got spanned today twice in quick succession, really, and gave up two chances. It was Hughes bailing out on him out on the first one, and then Jed Steer sort of got down to it and made a really intelligent save. I think Hughes is a real key part of this defence. And again, the more I'm seeing of him, the more I'm sort of thinking he might be a signing this summer. I did have concerns about his build-up plan. I guess I still do in some respects, but there are bits of his defensive game which are so far ahead of every single one of our other centre-backs, which is just abundantly clear. And the fact that we're keeping so many clean sheets now, I think a lot of that is on Sam Hughes and what he's done to this defence. So fair play to him. And the other one I wanted to mention just quickly is James Dornelli. I didn't think he was outstanding today by any stretch, but he's been a part of all three away clean sheets. It's very rare now where you sort of see Dornelli getting rinsed by a winger. I don't remember many instances of him getting turned inside out or really looking like he's completely out of his depth. He's an 18-year-old kid. He's playing at this level. He's very inexperienced. I think he deserves a fair amount of praise to be keeping Carl Johnson out of the team as well, who's obviously come back from injury. And he's deserving his spot at the minute. He's not doing a lot wrong. He's decent in possession. I like the positions he picks up in the... Now we've changed back to trying to play a bit more football. I think it suits him being able to come in centrally. And he's almost picks up positions in the initial build-up phase that Harrison Burrows did last season, where he sort of slots inside and then distributes the ball. And he's good enough on the ball to do that. So I just wanted to give him a bit of praise, really, because sometimes he's not really won many Man of the Match awards, and you can kind of go without picking Dornelli as sort of like a standout player. But what he's done since he's come back into the team has been really impressive, I think, for a player of his age. I think he deserves his props today.
No, I do agree, John, on Dornelli. And actually, the more that you think about it, he was ropey first half of the season. He was dropped in, he played too much, and ultimately, I think that he looked exposed. The interesting thing is that bar him being alongside Chioso, although I don't think that Dornelli was massively involved in that first team setup at that point, this is now the first time that he's had a right back that understands the position to sort of learn from in Carl Johnston. So, yes, he is keeping Carl Johnston out, but I think that that probably has been a massive help for his development, to ask questions, to learn from a right back. Previously, he's had like Katongo, or it was himself, or it was then like Otto playing right wing back, or even Ajiboy at points. Sam Curtis as well. Like, he's finally got somebody that's got 100 games. And like D-Max said, and Mason Clark said it on Johnston, isn't he? Is that he's the one, he's like one of the best one-on-one defenders that Mason Clark had seen, like D-Max had seen. And now Dornelli's got that person to learn from. How fantastic is that? Like, we're talking, looking ahead to next season. Like, when did it ever feel previously that we had the right-back spot locked in? Even when sort of Joe Ward was playing right-back and players like that, it never really felt like we had somebody. Now we've got two. What a delight. And then to go back to Sam Hughes as well, look, we've praised Jed Steer for every time the ball goes in the box, you think he's going to come up and he's going to win it. Every time the ball gets sort of pumped forwards, it just feels like Sam Hughes is going to win the header. It is so satisfying. And look, Manny has been fantastic at winning headers, but never when it got like properly physical. And there are limitations to Sam Hughes's game, but it does look like he's working on them. It does look like they're improving. But to have that ability while we're chucking on absolute mongs up top that are like 6'8" and just like winning absolutely everything. And he's not losing the headers. He's still winning the headers. He is still battling and beating these people and carrying them forwards to be a strong defender. And I don't think that we can ask much more than that for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know what? I'm starting to really like Sam Hughes, and I think I'm with John. I think I wouldn't mind him being signed now. And the things I love about him, he's very consistent, isn't he? You know what you're going to get from him. And he very rarely does anything different from that. And he's not an emotional player either. Especially in a game like this, you would expect a lot of emotions in the players. To be fair, we did see it a little bit with like what Odo did in the first half. But Sam Hughes, he's just gets on with his game, doesn't he? And you're right, he was heading away absolutely everything. I think Cambridge really struggled. If they underhit their balls forward, Hughes would head it away. If they overhit them, Steer was coming out and catching them. And I think those two combined is really helping our defence against the long ball, which is something I think we struggled with at the start of the season. Regarding his limitations, yeah, of course he has them. But I think there is a chance that next season we don't play from the back as much as we have done for the last few years. And I think if you look at some of the teams that are renowned from playing from the back, I think they're all coming away from that now. I think there is a bit of a fashion now for the long ball again. And I wonder if we'll change that up. And I wonder if Sam Hughes is going to be a part of that transition going into next season, especially playing in these leagues with the pitches, because the pitch today at the Abbey was absolutely awful, terrible. The ball's just bobbling around all over, and we're going to get that every week in League One. I don't think the pitch would have helped much either by that guy in the Zorb ball falling over at half time. He's probably not done the groundsman any favours by causing a massive dent, which, by the way, him doing a lap of honour after losing a little mini game at half time and the Cambridge fans celebrating just goes to show you their losing mentality and explains why they're so far down the bottom of the league at the moment.
Well, someone who could have done a lap of honour today for their performance, I think, is Hector Kyprianou, who I thought was genuinely outstanding. I thought that was his best performance this season by a country mile today. I thought he battled. Him and Collins were sort of everywhere. And I enjoyed watching them play together. And I haven't said that loads of times this season. Certainly a bit more recently, they've picked up in their form. But I really thought they were back to their best today. And Kyprianou in particular was just excellent. Battled so hard. Really good on the ball. Quite quick-footed at times as well. There was a moment on the edge of his own box where he sort of rounded two players with a really nimble bit of footwork. Just thought he was, back to his very best. And you kind of go back to that Bristol Rovers game, and I remember that Bristol Rovers game where he didn't come over to the fans or just wandered off down the tunnel on his own. And that was sort of like the point where a lot of Posh fans, including I know myself and Ashley, had had enough of him. But he really has turned it round since that moment. I don't know where the attitude changes come from, but you can even see it on the pitch. He's demanding stuff of his players now. There was moments today, I think there was one in the first half where he had a go at Oddo. I'm pretty sure he had a go at Malik Mothersill at one point, potentially Brad as well. And you can just see him being more demonstrative with his team, being more of a captain, more of an example. And it almost feels like the transfer window closing has just flipped a switch in his head. And not only is he being more of a leadership role and taking on that role, but he's also being way better on the pitch. And his performances have just gone from pretty poor to back to that level of, okay, he is a really good League One player again. And yeah, fair play to him. He's going out in Peterborough of his career, which presumably he's going to leave, in exactly the right way. And he's won me back over, because I was always a huge Kyprianou fan in terms of his ability. But there were definitely issues with his attitude for the first 6 months of this season. But since, like I say, since the January transfer window closed, I think he's been nothing but a credit to himself. And he was a major reason why we won that today, because he was, I thought, the most classy midfielder on the pitch by quite a distance.
Yeah, that's fair to say, mate. It was steady. The midfield done what they had to do. They were solid. Not much got through them. I actually think they controlled it. They bossed it. And you're right about his attitude. It seems to be back to where it was last season, if that makes sense, where we wanted him to be our captain this year, and it didn't quite happen to start off with. But, you know, let's give the bloke a bit of credit. You know, we're quick enough to fucking dig people out, but let's give him a bit of credit for turning things around and showing us that he is a captain that we wanted him to be. So that was good. Collins, not his best game, but he was steady. Again, what you need in a game like this. And it just overall, I do enjoy the game. And I still can't get my head around how they thought Cambridge deserved to win. I may be biased. I don't know. Probably I'm biased, but also just change the subject again, because I do like to find change thing. But I couldn't find another picture, so I just had to go with a fucking blue background for whatever reason. I have no idea what happened. But no, let's move on with some of our wingers. They weren't the best, really, but they've done what they had to do. Both Odu and who was on the other side? Can't fucking remember. Anyway, Anyway, maybe he shouldn't have come back for this game. I think that's probably my only little sort of criticism. But yeah, when Hayes come on, how good was he? He was fucking outstanding. And I think if he had started the game, potentially he could have like been man of the match, created a few more and maybe got us a few more goals. But, you know, overall, the midfield done what we had to do. So, fucking hell. And well done, Kyprianou, for getting back to how he should be, mate.
No, I agree. And I'm sure that there's absolutely no coincidence that Kyprianou started playing well and performances have improved. Like John said, we're more than quick enough to dig him out and dig players out. But, you know, it's finally captain's performances. That's all that we've asked for. We've not tried to keep it too difficult or sort of like be make it harder than it is. Like we're simple fans. We just want results and we like passion. And we're finally getting that all across the pitch. I think that maybe the Dell's comments on the wingers were probably a little bit harsh. I think that realistically, I don't think that there was a chance that it was going to be easy for Poku from the start of the game and to play 65 minutes. And actually, when Hayes came on, Scott Maloney, depending on however his name is said, he was cooked already. He had nothing left. I think that if the roles were reversed and it was Hayes for sort of the first 65 minutes and then Poku for 25, I think that the result probably would have been the same in that, look, Akwamu Poku coming at you with tired legs. Oh, crikey, I can't think of anything worse. And actually, Odo's performance on the other side was industrious, let's say. And actually, he was probably quite lucky because he definitely swung at the right back when they got into a little scuffle. Now, we've discussed this before, is that there's not sort of been like that aggro between the players on the pitch, because when we've played at London Road, we've dicked them the last two times. And how can you be aggy about that other than, you know, Morrison trying to start on a 18-year-old, like, grow up? But, you know, that was actually quite refreshing to see and quite enjoyable. And it sort of just did lift everybody up a little bit, like watching Otto have a little bit of a kick off and have a little bit of back and forth. And that ultimately we didn't really have that many chances today. But I thought that what the two wingers put in, and then Hayes as well, once he joined in as well, was more than satisfactory for the result of the game. Like, it was only 1-0. I would have loved us to have scored four or five more goals, but that was realistically never going to happen today, was it? And at the end of the day, results business again. We've got the 3 points. Cambridge are going back down to League Two.
I think I always, it's always harder to do this after a defeat. And again, I don't feel the most comfortable doing this, but I do think that it needs pointing out that I remain fully unconvinced by Abraham Odo. I know he's sort of flavour of the month with the fan base, and you talk about a satisfactory performance there, Ash. I don't know really that it was for a Peterborough United winger. And I get that he was good against Shrewsbury. He was against 10 men, bottom of the league. He was very good. I'm still not really certain that he's had another great performance in a Peterborough United shirt. I think he has got better than the early parts of the season, or certainly when he came in January, and I sort of said Fergie should be sacked if he ever played him again. I'd like to point out the situation was a little bit different then, because at that point he was keeping out Hayes and Mothersill out of the team, which I found very bizarre. Since then, obviously, Mothersill switched inside and Hayes got a run, so we didn't really have too many other options down that flank than to play Otto. But he's getting a lot of game time at the minute, and I know he's sort of, he's becoming, I don't know if popular is the right word, but I think he's won some fans over. And you're right, he is industrious, Ash. He does, tactically, is quite a good player, because defensively he gets back in and he gets in the right positions. But when we utilise him one-on-one, he offers such little goal threat that it's a real concern. He's still not scored a goal all season. And I mean, I compare him to someone like David Ajiboy. Now, Ajiboy was not good enough for this level. He's at Newport now. He's probably all right at League Two. I think Ajiboy offered us more last season, looked more of a goal threat than Otto has this season. And I'm at a point where I still don't see it with Otto. Maybe he will come good. Maybe I'm completely wrong on it. But I think there's a long way, a long, long way to go. I still find his performances largely frustrating. I don't think he's creating enough. I look at the way Poku played today, and Poku wasn't at his best, but he flashed that one just wide of the goal. He had moments. There were moments of real class. From Otto on the other side, he didn't offer anything. I don't think he created a chance. I don't think he had a shot. And he got the ball one-on-one so many times. There was one time where Cipriano went mad at him because he just didn't release it early enough. I just find him quite frustrating. And maybe that's because we've had such brilliant wingers on that side before. Maybe I'm comparing him harshly, but I just feel like there's just not enough. There's not enough spark and not enough attacking quality, not enough goal threat. And I just think he's too far behind the curve now that if it was me, up to me, I would get rid of him this summer. But, you know, clearly he has improved on what he was serving up over the early part of the season. And like I say, defensively, if that's what you like from your wingers and he's getting back, then maybe he does have a role in the team. And I always find it more difficult to do after a win, because I want to be positive, but we have to analyze the games. We see it, we're talking about every player here, and I can't just come on here and say, oh yeah, I thought Otto was really good when I didn't. And that's basically where I'm at with it now.
I think Odo's problem today was the defender doing such a good job on him. I don't like to praise Cambridge players. I think it's James Gibbons, the right back that played against him. Obviously, in the first half, it was right in front of us, and he was tightly marking him. No matter where Odo went on the pitch, he was right behind him. And every time the ball got played to Odo, it was to his feet. He took a touch, Gibbons tripped him up. Ref called a foul, didn't book him. And I think that happened about four or five times until Odo then had to swing for him basically to get him booked, which worked in the end. But I do agree with you that the times he did get the better of Gibbons, he got in, he carries the ball really well, but he does hold on to it a little bit too much. But I think he's a typical Peterborough United player. You don't want him to come in and be as good as Mason Clark straight away because he wouldn't be playing for us. He comes in to be developed, and this is his first season. He's 24. And you're right, he ticks all the other boxes. He's hardworking. I tweeted the other week when he had a really good performance that he has taken a lot of crap off of everyone, not just us as a podcast, but the fan base as a whole. And I think he's just kept his head up the whole time. He's not cried about it. He's not sulked about it. He's just taken the opportunity he has on the pitch. And eventually his form stand round. And I wouldn't sell him in the summer. I think that he's going to be a big player for us next season. I think we need to be patient with him, just like we were with Mason Clark after his first season. I'm not going to say he's going to be as good as Mason Clark because you can't really expect anyone in League One to be as good as Mason Clark is. It's a rarity, but I can see him making a similar impact to what Mason Clark did with us. Going on to the other wingers, the two subs that we made in Hayes and Ricky completely changed the game for me. I thought, as much as Cambridge had a few chances, I think as soon as we brought them 2-1, I think we were always looking the more likely to score. Obviously, Hayes won the free kick that we eventually scored from. I just wanted to touch on Brad because it always seems to be Brad that we take off in this situation. And he did win the ball aerially a few times and held the ball up well, but he doesn't offer a great deal much more than that, or he didn't today at least. And it is always him that ends up coming off for Ricky. And I don't think he reacted that well to it today. And as much as we love Brad and is the way he is, his shithousery, big bad Brad and all of that, I think there has to be a level. I don't think we should be encouraging him reacting that way to Fergie and the coaches. I don't want to comment too much on what happened because I didn't see it. And I'm sure nothing will come from it. But it didn't look very respectful, and obviously that's public, that's for everyone to see. I just think we should probably, as much as we do love Brad and his shenanigans, I think we should probably say we don't condone that, and he probably needs to rein it in a little bit.
Nah, fuck him. Let him keep going. Nah, in all seriousness, right? You like to see a bit of passion. There's no doubt about it. And let's be honest, he does fucking like to put himself about on the pitch. Not sure what happened after on the when he got subbed off, etc. I think there's a little bit with Malik, and there's like definitely something with obviously the coaches on the bench. But we don't know what happened there. It'd be interesting to find out what did happen from. So we could actually get a true reflection and be able to comment properly on it. But whatever happened, it was done. What I do like about Brad is at the end of the game, I don't know if anybody saw that as well, is at the end of the game, he's come out and he's fucking, mate, he loves it, doesn't he? You know, he loves to get involved with the fans and celebrate. But I'm not too sure about his little dancing with fucking, with Ricky. There's something going on there, isn't there? There's some proper fucking moves going on, and there's a lovely little bit of bromance coming on. Could be short-lived, because obviously Ricky could be going at the end of the season, but them two definitely are working together. You know, them two fucking love each other. Which, you know, it's great to see the enjoyment. It's great to see fucking players really, really pleased and get involved, and it's great. I love it. So, yeah, just he does need to calm down a little bit. I do think he's going to be a very, very good player. He's strong. He likes to get stuck in. But, yeah, just fucking calm it down a little bit, mate, you know. Don't need all the yellow cards. And I think potentially he could have stayed on the pitch a little bit longer if he did have a little bit of an issue and got his yellow card early on. So he just needs to cut that bit out of his game within reason. But, yeah, I fucking love Brad. Big bad Brad. Superb.
Yeah, I also love his personality. I think, like you say, Dale, he needs to be a little bit smarter with his shithousery because we want the opposition players booked rather than Brad. I don't mind him getting involved in that sort of stuff, but I think he'll learn quickly that potentially he needs to just be a little bit more clever with it, a little bit more streetwise. He's still young, isn't he? I actually didn't think it was his best game today. I didn't think he quite pressed and harried the back line hard enough. I would have liked to have seen him work a little bit harder, I guess. He did hold it up a couple of times and there was decent bits of link play, but I didn't think... There were times where I felt like Cambridge centre-halves had too long on the ball because Brad wasn't getting out to them quickly enough. Certainly, like, and I know it's hard to do it in the same way that Ricky does because Ricky's very, very good at that. But I would have liked to have seen him press just a little bit harder. It wasn't like he was awful. I didn't think that. I just thought maybe he could have put in a bit more effort, especially knowing that he's probably likely to come off after an hour. But I did want to talk Ricky because on the last pod, obviously, the Charlie caused a bit of controversy saying that he thought Ricky was a disgrace. And I actually thought it was very harsh terminology to use. Now, Ricky has his flaws, which is his finishing ability. And there's no doubt that he needs to improve in that area. He's missed some bad chances this season. And throughout his Posh career, really, you could probably make a compilation of Ricky sitter misses that would fill up the elite strikers for their entire careers. But what Ricky was really good today, and when the game stretched, there is no one quite like him. As a sub, he's such a good substitute to have up your armory because against tired defenders, he just causes chaos. And I thought his energy, along with Hayes, like you guys have said, was just a real turning point in that game, just having that pace. He caused them no end of problems. Missed another chance, although it was more of a half chance today. So if he can just find the finish, it would take him to another level, I think, as a striker. It is not quite the most refined, but I wouldn't... look, Ricky's form's dropped off pretty badly second half of the season, I would say, compared to the first half. But I wouldn't ever call Ricky a disgrace because he is someone that I think works very hard. And at the end, I think you saw... I don't know if anyone saw this on the clip, but he was doing the quite a smells round here again to the Cambridge fans, which I love all that shit. I think it's great. A bit like Brad. And I'd never question his love for Peterborough. I don't think it's necessarily a question of attitude. I think maybe it's an issue of his confidence, like Fergie's alluded to. And I hope that today's performance, he was a lot more positive. I hope that today's performance kind of gets him back to being Ricky and just doing what he does well, because when he does it, he does have some real qualities.
Yeah, I do think you're right, John. And I actually think that we've discussed pretty much everybody that stepped foot on the pitch today for sort of more than 5 or 6 minutes. And actually, it's all about the confidence within the team and letting them express themselves. And ultimately, when we've been shit, which we have been at points this season, and for long periods of time, is that nobody is going to be able to express themselves the way that they want to. And we now sort of are there. I think that Brad maybe made a mistake with the defender that he was on. I think that he probably should have put himself on Kel Watts today because he is a donkey when it comes to playing football. And that when Ricky came on, he sort of just kept going past him, didn't he? Every single time he got the ball, it was like, oh, I'm just going to run past Kel Watts. Like, there's no chance he keeps up with me. So maybe that's a tactics thing. Maybe that's just sort of a, well, you know, Brad was happy with the physicality that Morrison was going to offer him. But, you know, how can we, like we said at the start, like we said throughout this, is that how can we be disappointed ultimately with anybody's performance when we've come away with a 1-0? Absolutely no complaints. And at the end of the day, we have got ourselves a great sort of place to continue moving on. And that's what it's about, is get the confidence, express themselves, keep moving on, and just see where we can get ourselves for the rest of the season.
Well, I think we're there. We've talked about one club that won't be playing League One football next season in Cambridge. We will now talk about a game against another club that might not be playing League One football next season in Charlton, who look pretty strong. What are we thinking, Del? Are we changing any team lineups for this? We're obviously on a good run ourselves. Would you stick with the team that played against Cambridge, or is there anyone you want to see come in?
Well, let's be honest, we can't stick with the same team because I do believe Eden got sent off today. Fucking hell, check me out being smart for a change. So, no, you know, as Ash alluded to earlier, you know, it's probably in hindsight, it could be a good thing that we've got to get Mills. He's got to start. you know, get a bit of a game or two in before Wembley. So overall, I probably wouldn't change anything. I'd still stick with Brad to start off with. And also going into the Charlton game, they're up there and they're sort of still in the playoffs, I believe. Before, we'd be a little bit like, oh, fucking hell, we've got to have a tough game. Yeah, it will be a tough game, but there's more confidence now. What have we got, 7 games without beating, unbeaten? Whatever it may be. So, yeah, let's stick to the same sort of team within reason, just Mills. And we're getting that consistency now. We're getting partnerships where they're starting to play better with each other. We've alluded to Wallin and Hughes. You know, they're actually playing very well together. Why break it up? You know, why break it up when it's working so well, when Hughes is like getting all of his, you know, winning every header, doing everything that you expect him to be doing. And it's great to see. So I'll stick to what we've got. And I think what we can make quite clear now is the Charlton game is now going to be going ahead. You listened to Fergie's interview earlier. He's quite confident the game will happen on Saturday. So busy weekend for me. Got a couple of England games either side of it. So, looking forward to another game against Charlton, because we generally, whenever we got Charlton, they normally do get fucking changed, don't they? Postponed, frozen pitch, called off. So hopefully it'll go ahead. So, yeah, looking forward to Saturday. Same team, and I'm confident we're going to perform very well and get the result we need.
It's an interesting one, isn't it, when you are down the bottom of the table? And we've not sort of had that luxury in League One, or lack of luxury in League One, for quite a while now. And actually, to be able to go into these games against the teams that are in the playoffs and going for promotion, they are pretty much free hits every single time. And I think that probably suits us in the team that we've got and the players that we've got and the form that we're in, is that the underdog sort of attitude is the chance for the players, like I've just said, to just go out there and enjoy themselves and express themselves. And if we lose to Charlton, am I going to be that disappointed? Probably not. I'm sort of expecting it. I actually think that Charlton are probably the most likely team to join Birmingham in the automatic spots. I think that at some point that, potentially, obviously, Wickham have lost to Wrexham today, and I think that Wrexham probably will drop off as well. So I think that there's every chance that Charlton can keep climbing and will maybe towards the end of the season just take that second spot. And look, they are a big team. They've got a massive ground. That deserves to be full every single week, doesn't it, in the Championship? And they're on a fantastic run of form. The game that we played sort of, what was it, a month ago now, we were probably unlucky not to get a point from that. But, you know, hopefully the guys can sort of not do anything silly and get themselves sent off, because it's the type of game where you need 11 men on the pitch, isn't it, against a team like Charlton. And hopefully we can get something from it.
Well, Charlton away was the game which just about made me tear my hair out. I could not watch any more of that football. And thankfully, Ferguson decided exactly the same. So I am looking forward to watching us play Charlton and play like Peterborough, because I didn't think they were great at the Valley, if I'm honest. I thought they were very much a Nathan Jones team, and that is well-drilled, powerful, physical. We know they're going to be hard to beat, and they're a good team this season. There's no doubt about it. I'm not going to take that away from them. So I don't mean that disparagingly, but I do think we have a chance of getting something the way we're playing. And I think it'll be a much more entertaining spectacle this time around anyway. I think if there's one change for me, and it might not surprise you guys to hear this after what I said on Otto earlier, I would, and I keep beating this drum as well, I would quite like to see Ricky J. Jones start down the left flank. I just think, if I'm honest, he's going to carry more of a goal threat than Otto there. I think he gives us a lot defensively. Him and Mills must have played together at some stage as well in, I don't know, their development careers, surely. I know Ricky came into the first team and is a bit older than Mills, but they must have had some time in the 21s, or at least formed a relationship over the years at Posh. So getting those two on that flank, they know each other relatively well, I would assume. I don't think that would be a bad option in terms of their respective skill sets as well, because don't forget, Harley Mills is a very, very good passer. And if he can knock those balls down the channel, which he does do quite well, into the pace of Ricky J. Jones, then I think that is a route to goal that I would like to see utilised. I don't think Fergie will do it. I think he even spoke after the game and mentioned the fact that he's finally getting consistency in his selection. So I expect Mills to come in for Eden and that to be the only change, but that's what I would do.
Yeah, I was going to say that I wanted Ricky to start as well, John, and I was going to say instead of Brad, but I quite like that idea of Mills playing those balls down the wing and Ricky running onto them. I agree with you. I don't think Fergie's going to change much, if anything. But I would play Johnston instead of Dornelli. As much as I like Dornelli and the run he's been on, Charlton are a good side. They're in the sort of form that we would have expected to be in at this point of the season. And up there in fourth is probably somewhere where we saw ourselves being at this point of the season. I think for us to get anything out of it, we need to play our best players. And I don't think it's unfair for me to say that Johnston is a better right back than Dornelli. So I think for that reason alone, I'd get him in. It's going to be a physical battle. So do we play Fernandez instead of Wallin just because he's more better in the air than what Wallin is? Possibly. But I would play Ricky. Ricky is the one that I definitely would get in somehow. And the reason for that is I've just looked it up. Charlton give away the most fouls in a game out of everyone in League One. So for us to get something out of it, I can imagine having Ricky on the counter-attack, winning some penalties might be the way forward there.
Cool. We will move on to predictions. Like I say, normally quite positive with these. Interesting to see which way this goes. I'll start with you, Dale. How do you think we're going to get on?
Okay, we're going to win, and we're going to win 4-2. No fucking about, straight in 4-2. Because, you know, we've had too many weeks, we've had clean sheets. You know, Charlton's a good side. They're going to score 1 or 2. 4-2, up the fucking posh.
I am going to reverse the scoreline from last month's game against Charlton, and I think that we're going to win 2-1. Not too sure on who the goal scorers are going to be. I think that it's going to probably be a tight game. I think that the winning goal will probably come after the 80th minute. But it does feel good, doesn't it, at the moment? And I think that hopefully if we can get a big crowd in again for next weekend's game, we can get lots of fans in, get them through the door and give them another performance to sort of enjoy. Is that what better way than a 2-1 against a team that are in the playoffs?
I'm going to be a bit more conservative than you guys, like normal. I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw. I think it'll be, I think it'll be a much better game than the one at the Valley. I think it'll be much more open. I think I can see us not throwing away our unbeaten streak, but we haven't won many games against the teams up there near the top. So I think a draw would be a pretty good result, and I'd be relatively happy with that.
You know what? I think this is the first time it's happened. I'm going to be the only one predicting a loss here. I think we'll give them a go. I think it'll be a good game, and I hope that the crowd don't get toxic because our good performances have been away from home recently. I think it's fair to say that, and our home fans probably haven't enjoyed the turn of form as much as what the away fans have. So I hope if we do lose and we play well that they don't turn on the players, but I do think we are going to struggle against them. I'll go for a 2-1 loss, but I also said we'd go unbeaten in March, so it could be a draw, but I think we're going to struggle. I think the Charlton are just too good for us.
We've done a really, really positive podcast for 56 minutes there, and then right at the end, Lodz has gone, yeah, we're going to lose at the weekend. So cheers for that. What a twat. Anyway, at least we can all remember Cambridge are shit. Up the poshcast.
Up the poshcast.
Up the poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the poshcast.
It's happened again. It's happened again.